Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we are beginning day two of our inspiration article, and it's entitled United Through Fatherhood and Brotherhood. We are so glad that you have joined us again today. And back in the studio, I have Lois and Albert. Welcome back, panelists.
Hi, Brandon.
Hi, everyone.
And yesterday we talked about fatherhood, brotherhood, right? And what is the main point that we really talked about yesterday, Lois?
Well, that fatherhood is necessary,
mm-hmm.
and children need their father, and fathers need their children. And it's nice if you can have that time together.
Right, and fathers and men in general also need other men in their lives, right, to share life with.
Right, and that, you know, it's, hey, it's okay, you know, fatherhood can be difficult, or so I imagine, and, you know, life can be difficult as well. You don't have to go through it alone. There are communities out there that can help you and are willing to support you, and you can give back as well.
And the name of the community that we are talking about is called Divine Alternatives for Dad's Services, or better known as DADS. Mm. That's a little easier to say,
right,
isn't it? And so this is a community where men can go and they can share their struggles. They can learn more about how to love people, love each other, and also learn more about God, who ultimately is going to help them through these challenging situations.
Right, and I think it's a real chance for the men to learn communication skills, that is, as it mentioned to us, so that you can talk out your problems with other men, whether they be younger or older than you.
Yes, because as I talked about just briefly yesterday, oftentimes men struggle with sharing, you know, what's on their heart. They just, a lot of men don't do that, I think. You know, a younger generation is probably better about that, I think. Like, for example, maybe my father's generation, they did that even less so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important to do that, because otherwise, how are you going to really get help with these situations? Of course, you can, you know, as they talk about here, they can share it with God, and that's all ultimately the best, but we also need each other. And so it's important to have these groups. And, you know, I asked our panelists yesterday how they have benefited from community, and they shared their stories about that. And, you know, maybe, panelists, maybe you have another story to share about the importance of just having people in your lives and having that sense of community. Now, we live, all of us, we are not from Asia. We are from North America originally,
mm-hmm.
right? And so moving to, you know, a different part of the world can be really challenging. So when you moved here, how was that? Did you connect with other people, and how did that help you?
Well, you know, fortunately, when we moved here with a 13 and a 16-year-old, so that broke down some barriers for us, because
mm-hmm.
we instantly had to have them in school, and we also wanted our church community.
Mm-hmm.
So entering as a family of four, I think, was a lot easier than doing it if we came at this age now.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this community instantly, and you were sharing things in common, because
right.
you might be complaining about bringing two teenagers to
mm-hmm.
Asia
mm-hmm.
when they hear they'd lived in Canada.
Right, yes. And so you had that instant community, which not everyone has that, and so that made it easier for you. How about you, Albert?
Oh, this is such an excellent question. I remember, like, you know, like moving to another country, and then you try and keep in touch with your friends back, like stateside, for example,
mm-hmm.
right? And you tell them all about these things, and, you know, they're your friends, and they're trying their best, and they can understand and relate a little bit. But when you have someone who you're talking to, and, like, you know, they're also an expat, or also living in a different country with you, right? You have that instant connection where, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, we are going through the same thing,
right.
and you can totally relate with me, like, 100% all the way.
Right. Yeah. And it's important to have those people in your lives. And so that's, kind of the idea of community. Of course, this community is maybe different than the community that listeners you're looking for, but we can all relate to this in some way or the other. We need people in our lives.
Right. You often look for people that have similar interests mm-hmm. as you, and that instantly becomes a community for you because you share things that you like to talk about or like to do.
Yeah, so I encourage you listeners to find a community where there are loving people and you can share with them some issues that you are going through. Many churches offer this, and so that's a good place to start. Well, we are on page 35, and we are continuing, of course, our talk about fatherhood and brotherhood. Let's find out more as we have our first reading for today.
The dad's role in the home and in the community is to bring a strong presence of safety and unity, Jeanette Charles said. We tell them to push past the drama with the mama and just love on your children. All they have to do is show up at school, during recess, at lunch, and say, "Hey, fella," or "Hi, sweetheart." And that presence softens the hearts of their children and boosts their morale.
What is the dad's role in the home? What do we learn here from Mrs. Charles?
Right. Their role is to bring a strong presence of safety and unity. You know, I feel like just being there, you can feel safe and connected and together.
Okay. Jeanette, along with her husband, Marvin, they started Dads, and so she is speaking, I believe, from experience. She's seen this, and she works alongside of her husband with this organization, and so it's important for dads to, you know, be involved in the home and in the community and to have that presence there, safety, unity. You know, of course, we want both mom and dad there to bring that unity ultimately. It's not always possible, as I mentioned yesterday, but that is ideal. So what does she say next? What she says next cracks me up. It makes me laugh. What does she say?
I love it. She says, we tell them to push past the drama with the mama and just love on your children. And they have to do, what they have to do is show up at school, during recess, at lunch and say, "Hey, fella," or "Hi, sweetheart." And that presence softens the hearts of their children and boosts their morale.
Okay.
Right. And like drama with the mama, I feel like, you know, it's a rhyme and it's also a play on the words of, we have this informal way of calling people drama mamas, you know, regardless if it's a guy or a girl, but basically it's someone who loves drama, who is very dramatic.
Yeah. And so I was just talking about maybe there is a lot of action going on, but it's not the kind of action that you necessarily want.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it causes you to be very worried or stressed because of all of the things that are going on in that, with that person or in that situation. And so, maybe, you know, a husband and wife are having problems, right? And so put aside that drama. Maybe
right.
You're not even with your wife.
Right.
But there's the children are still there. So
exactly.
You still have to focus on them.
Yeah, being the age I am, I've had a number of friends or relatives go through either divorce or separation. And it's like, you know, folks, you still want the kids to know that you don't hate each other, because right. Then you're going to make your children pick sides.
Yeah.
So that's really, I kind of think that's what they're getting at too.
Right.
You know, because you gotta love on these children. If they always see mom and dad fighting or as enemies towards each other, we are going to have a lot of drama.
So put aside those issues and be there for your children, basically. And so we get an example here. She says, just, you know, show up at school. Or during recess. Recess is a time when kids, they aren't studying. They're going out maybe on the playground and playing. And that's called recess. Show up during these times at lunch and just sit down, have a conversation with them. And say, "Hey, fella." That she's just using an informal way of saying, you know, fella is just an informal way of saying man. But you might call a boy or a man that, "Hey, fella," or "Hi, sweetheart."
Yeah, instead of saying, "Hey, son," he's saying,
yeah.
"Hey, fella," or
right.
"Hey, buddy."
Yeah.
Right.
But just having their presence there really makes a huge difference in the kids' lives. And it can boost their morale, Albert.
Right. And I mean, like, just being there is, enough. You know, showing up is already winning.
Right. So morale, you know, you think of, it's a big encouragement, right? If something at work, maybe, you know, you've been at work all week and you're just tired, and at the end of the week, you know, your boss, you know, says, oh, you can have the rest of the day off. Okay. And that kind of can boost the company morale, right? Kind of encourage you to say, oh, this week's not so bad after all. And it encourages you to maybe like your work and so
forth.
Right.
I just wanted to point out in this little paragraph we've just read and talked about, you have to get approval both from the mama and the school to do this.
Because
no matter where you are in the world these days.
Yes, that's a good point. But the major point here is that parents, especially here, we're talking about fathers, need to be present for their children, which takes time and effort. Well, next, we're going to learn more about the founders of dads. So let's look at page 35, and we'll have our next reading for today.
More than they expected. Marvin Charles, whose story has been told in part by the Seattle Times, said he and Jeanette simply wanted to pass on what they'd learned about navigating the bureaucracy that keeps families apart, when they discovered they'd hit on something big instead. By sharing personal truths as well as advice, they built bridges between people and created a community of fathers who lean on each other and share strength. The conversations we have every week are the kinds we should be having across this country, Hamer said. We talk about race and class and privilege and implicit bias. We talk about the power of God, and we share our candid stories face to face, which is something that most men don't get to do.
Okay, so we learn more here about Marvin and his wife Jeanette. And they have told their story in the Seattle Times, but, you know, they simply wanted to pass on what they'd learned about navigating something, okay? Navigating the bureaucracy that keeps families apart. And this is what they were setting out to do. They wanted to pass on what they knew, pass on that knowledge. Now, when you navigate something, you're trying to find your way around. And when you were talking about a bureaucracy, it's not easy to find your way around that, Lois. What is a bureaucracy?
A system for controlling something or ruling something.
Right, like a country, for example, or even an organization. And the point here is there are so many steps or rules involved that it really can slow down progress. And we see this sometimes with governments. You know, it takes a long time for something to maybe, you know, be passed or come about.
We often say they're bogged down, right?
And I think to be fair for, you know, the government side, it's because something went wrong and now they have these systems of checks to keep in place to make sure, like, oh, you're passing this and this requirements, and then, you know, we can return the families and make it whole again.
Yeah, sometimes it's maybe good that the process is slow if it were too quick.
Right.
Maybe, you know, there aren't enough checks and balances in place. And
right.
So there are maybe good and bad things about it. But for the general public, usually you think, oh, it just takes forever to get anything done. Right? And the point here is, too, it can be difficult to navigate, to find your way through all of the steps, right?
And there's going to be a lot of steps here because it's families involved and we have children or teens under the age of 18.
Right. Yeah, so they're trying to protect the kids and so forth, so it takes a lot of effort. And they wanted to help people through this. That's what they set out to do. But they discovered they'd hit on something big instead. So it's kind of something just very unexpected. They just set out to do this one maybe kind of small thing, and then before they knew it, they hit on something even bigger.
Right. They found that sharing personal truths as well as advice, they built bridges. Now, when you build a bridge, it's figuratively, and it's our idiom, to improve relationships between people who are very different or do not like each other. So if you have two people with opposing views and you built a bridge together, they're making that connection and they're bonding.
Yeah, you're bringing them together. Mm-hmm. You're bringing two sides together. And so they do this by sharing personal truths. People come and they share what's going on in their lives. And maybe they give some advice, and people can share with each other and help each other. And when you connect in that way, and you know, a bridge connects, you know, two sides. And so when they're sharing with each other, they're connecting with each other, and that
right.
can be a bridge of sorts as well.
And you can say that you can go to places that you weren't able to before.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And you also can see that, wow, they're united now. And then now they can go to beat each other's side.
Right, that's right. And so they have created this community of fathers, and they lean on each other, and they share strength. And I think sometimes, oftentimes, we think, oh, I'll just figure this out myself. I can do it. You know, we have this very independent spirit. But actually, no, we need each other, right? We need to share with each other and gain knowledge and get advice from others, and we can do things together much better than we can do it on our own. Okay, well, the conversations we have every week are the kinds we should be having across this country, Hamer said. And I think this is an important point, Lois.
Yes, we talk about race and class and privilege and implicit bias.
Okay, so there's a lot of words here, but I do want to talk about the beginning of that quote. He's really reinforcing this idea that we need to have these conversations. A lot of times we just, you know, stay in our homes and we may have conversations with people who are like-minded, but that's not really helping the issue.
Right. I think these are often referred to as uncomfortable conversations, but we are trying to make them comfortable.
Right. That's right. So we can get out there and talk about it, and hopefully the matter, you know, will be better. There will be more bridges built. Okay. So he goes on to say, we talk about race and class. And so, of course, we know what race is. We come from different races, and that can cause many issues. People have division there. But also with classes, a group of people within a society who have the same economic and social position. What class do you belong to? And people can have divisions because of that as well. And then we have privilege, which is what?
Well, you know, privilege is something that one person has and can able to do, and while another person may not be able to, it's a privilege for them. They have a right to do something. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, this is something that's found across different races and cultures and classes and societies.
So basically, it's an advantage. And so one person or a group can maybe have an advantage over another person or a group, which can cause big divisions. Okay? And then we have the word implicit, Lois.
Right, and that's in our vocabulary focus, once again on page 35. And it says, suggested but not communicated directly.
Okay, so implicit bias. And then, of course, the word bias, you have an opinion, and you have an opinion about somebody, and it makes you treat them in a way that is unfair or different, okay, because of your opinion kind of against them. And so you can have this implicit bias, meaning that it's maybe not direct, but it's kind of hidden, but it still affects the way you treat people. Okay, so we talk about, next they say, we talk about the power of God, and we share our candid stories. Mm. Now, we've talked about this already yesterday. They talk about their efforts to know God, but it's important to know that, yes, it's by God's power and strength that, you know, they're able to really find the healing and forgiveness and love that they need.
Right, and whenever I see the word candid, I automatically think honest stories.
Mm.
So here candid says honest and telling the truth, especially about something difficult or painful. So we'll say the person's actually being authentic. Mm-hmm. They're being real.
Or transparent.
Or transparent. Right. We're mm-hmm. actually seeing them.
Right. And that's important. And if you really want to get help, you have to be candid. You have to share honestly. It's not easy to do that, but I think you have to start somewhere and pick up from there. Just, you know, start being honest.
And it might be a little bit uncomfortable here because it says face to face. They're right there in the room.
Right. Yeah.
They might be sitting right beside you, as the picture on the left on page 34 shows us. So there might be a little bit of uncomfortableness there.
I think the hard part, Albert, for me at least, would be going there, you know. once I get there, I know it's a support group. And, you know, once I get there and I'm in the group, I hope that maybe it would be easier to share, and maybe that is what happens. Because they know the purpose. It may be humbling to go, but once you walk in the door, hopefully it gets easier after that.
Well, there's one thing you noted yesterday, which was like, oh, how, you know, Marvin Charles and his wife didn't start out to do a big thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to start. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times when you are there and you're doing that thing, you'll be surprised by the results.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, going in the first place always seems like the hardest, biggest step.
Yeah, you have to take that first step.
Just getting started, right?
So, if you're thinking of going to a group that where you can share, you know, take that first step and check it out. You never know what will happen. Well, we have a little bit more to talk about. We have one more reading for today. Let's go ahead and go back to page 35 if you're not already there, and we will have our last reading for today.
It sounds kind of corny, said Marvin Charles, but clients and prospective mentors, donors, and others who attend the weekly men's support groups held at the dad's office realize at some point that they all fight many of the same battles. We all struggle to be better husbands and better fathers and better people, Marvin Charles said. And then we see that those struggles are part of the journey. And the journey is easier when we do it together.
Okay, so next we hear from Marvin Charles, who, started Dad's, along with his wife, and he says something. He says, it sounds kind of corny. Now, first of all, that word corny, you know, it just talks about, you know, it's something like a joke or something you've heard a thousand times, and it just doesn't sound sincere, it doesn't sound new, it's been repeated so much, so we call that being corny, right,
mm-hmm.
Lois? And this is your favorite kind of humor.
Actually, listeners, we were just discussing this off air. It's my least favorite type of humor, so.
All right, but he's saying this, and I think sometimes if we say this before, you know, what we're going to say next, it helps people to think, oh, it's not so corny, right? So just kind of let you off the hook a little bit, right?
So if I'm telling a joke, I should tell people, like, my joke's not that funny, but here's the joke.
That's
be
different.
Like, hey, that's actually kind of funny.
You're right, because he's not telling a joke here. He's just saying this is probably something you've heard a thousand times, but it's still true, because sometimes cliches or something that sounds corny can maybe still be true, and you still want to use it. So I think if you, you know, give that kind of disclaimer at the beginning, it helps people to kind of receive it.
Right. And actually, I mean, like, what follows is, I don't feel like it is corny, but then again, I don't know if it's because of the effect of him saying
right.
first.
Mm. Okay, so what is he talking about here, Lois?
Well, he's talking about, and he realizes at some point that all these people are fighting many of the same battles.
Okay, that's right. They are fighting the same battles. And, you know, that may be something that we hear often, that, oh, yes, we're all fighting the same battles. And so I guess that's why he says it may sound kind of corny. So we get a description here of the clients, though, and what type of people are coming?
Well, it's a wide range of clients. You know, they have mentors, donors, and they have different men from different, like,
walks of life. Right?
Walks of life, right. And I know, I don't feel like it sounds corny, because a lot of times when something's happening to you, right, it feels so personal, and it feels like you're the only person that is suffering at this. But it doesn't really help in the moment when someone says, hey, you know, other people had people broken up with, mm-hmm. you know, like, relationships have ended. But here, you know, I feel like these dads will be like, hey, you know what? Hearing other people going through the same thing, you know, it lessens the severity of it.
Right.
It gives me hope.
And so maybe you're wondering what a prospective mentor is. It's someone who hopes to be a mentor in the future. They're maybe likely.
Mm.
And this is a great group for mentors to be involved.
Right.
Yeah, because they can help people.
And it's actually, to make it simple, because I've been involved in that, it's kind of like checking a group out to see if this is where you're actually good at connecting.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of gifted in this area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a help and not a hindrance to a group like this or a ministry like this.
And maybe some people are checking the group out. They want to possibly donate money.
Right. Or some companies have somebody nowadays who represents the company, a male or a female, who goes and sees, does our company want to give money to this organization called Dads?
But
and that happens too.
Yeah, what we see here is it's a level playing field. We all have issues that we deal with. And sometimes we want to say, well, I'm from this race, or I'm from this class, or I'm privileged, I have this or that. But it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because we all have struggles that we need to work through. And so we can come to the table and discuss them, or we can allow all of these things to divide us, and we won't get the help that we need, and we won't offer the help that others may need. So, this support group is helping a lot of people, and here at the end, we hear again from Marvin Charles, and what does he say there?
Well, he says, you know, we all struggle to be better husbands and better fathers and be better people. And I feel like, you know, this applies to everyone, regardless if you're a father or not. I feel like this is a struggle. But here especially, you know, I feel like people who attend Dads have had a failing in that area, you know, being a father or a husband. And now, you know, they're making that attempt and that effort, which is super beautiful, of, you know, being better.
Right. So these struggles, they are part of the journey. And the journey is easier when we do it together. That's how we end today's article. That is a quote from Marvin Charles himself. And we need to do it together. That's a good way to end this article.
It sure is. And, you know, I just like to know that men are getting support, too.
Mm.
We read a lot of articles where women get support, or
yes,
girls get support, or teenagers. This is encouraging that there's something out there for men.
Right. And listeners, we hope that you will seek out a support group, maybe at a church or something like that, where people can listen to what struggles you are facing, and then maybe you can also help others who are facing similar struggles. And write into us. Let us know your thoughts, we will be glad to take a look at that, and you can just share your thoughts with us. Well, thank you for joining us for this month's Inspiration article, and we hope you will join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.